Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the ability to be united in heart and in spirit with one another once again. I have missed you. It is a blessing to be able to see your faces. And for those that couldn't be here today, we cherish the moment when we'll be able to see you too. So I pray that that you'll be following along on as we live stream this on Facebook and other places. And I guess we better get some things out of the way first. Mamas, would you stand? All the mamas, would you stand? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for mamas. You may go ahead and be seated. Father, we come before you and we give you thanks for these mamas. And I think back on my dear mama and how she was my greatest cheerleader and Father, a godly woman. And I know that so many prayers went up to heaven on my behalf because of my mom, and as tears rolled down that lovely face. And I know she's from watching from heaven today, Father, and I remember as she took her last breath on this earth and took her first breath in your arms, we were reading Proverbs 31 to her. And at the end of Proverbs 31, it says this, that charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let the works of her hands praise her at the city gate. So, Father, along with my mama and all these gathered here and throughout this planet, Father, those who are on earth and those who are in heaven, we give them honor and we thank you for placing them in our lives to lead us and to love us when we weren't so loving. But, Father, we thank you for them. We ask that you would bless them today. Bless them beyond their wildest imaginings, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, mamas. Love you. Today, we're a little loud in here, Chase. I don't know. Seems like, is it loud to everybody else? Because I'm hard of hearing, and it's loud to me. So, today we're beginning a journey through a new book in the Bible, and we just had finished up with Acts last week, and as Nathaniel came and he taught last week of the 29th chapter of Acts, and if you look in your Bible, there is no 29th chapter of Acts, because the Acts of the Apostles continues on through us. It never ends, right? The Acts of the Apostles is the Acts that we perform, and the evangelistic nature that God has put in us to reach out and tell people about Jesus, and not only just with words, but with our actions. You know, it says that in Acts chapter 4, it said that the people were all in one in heart and mind. They had unity together. And no one looked after their own needs but the needs of others. And they shared with everyone who had a need their own possessions. You know, and I see that happening in this day and age that we find ourselves in now. There are shortages of things and people are sharing, and it just blesses my heart to see that. What doesn't bless my heart is not being able to meet with you guys. But today, praise God, in a limited scope, here we are. So I thank the Lord for that. But moving out of the book of Acts, we saw in chapter 2 of Acts God's Holy Spirit being poured out upon the disciples. A loud rushing wind coming in and tongues of fire resting on them. And they began to speak in other tongues, and they began to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ with a boldness that they had never had before. And that's all good. But now we're entering into things, and we see how the new beginnings of the New Testament church, and we've studied that, and it continues on today, but somewhere along the line we need to go back and we look at the old ways and where the origins of what we believe come from, and that comes from Genesis. Genesis is a Latin name or translation of the word in the beginning. The Hebrew word for in the beginning is a word Bereshith, in beginning. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly where I wanted to put it at, but right now is a good spot. Many of you know and treasure, as I do, a guy that's in our fellowship, and he studies Hebrew. And And Ken Fleetwood is his name. And if you ever get an opportunity to sit and listen to Ken Fleetwood teach in Hebrew, just have him put the word love up and let him draw it out in Hebrew and explain to you what it means. It's unbelievable. And he teaches with such a passion, it just blesses my heart every time I'm around him. And I hate that he couldn't be here today because he's working, because I wanted him to come and share with us this word, Bereshith, in the beginning. But I found somebody almost as good, in my opinion, because I love kids so much. But this guy's name is John Kostick, and we have a video of him teaching about the word Bereshith on video. And Sean, if you can put that up for us.
Let's look at this first word of Genesis 1:1, Bereshith. I've written it big here, but it's the same here. It means in beginning, okay? Well, each one of these has a picture associated with it. By the way, notice that each of these also have a number associated with it. God deals on levels and levels and levels, and they all intertwine and connect, and there's sub-themes and themes, and they all interconnect, and everything points to Jesus.
Amen.
Don't believe me? Watch. Bereshith, the first word. Remember, we're reading from right to left. You can sound that out. Beit, ba, resh, r, aleph. They actually say it's a silent letter, and you don't... It sort of gives the A sound. I don't know why they call it a silent letter. It is interesting that Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, yet God does not begin the alphabet or begin the Bible with an Aleph. He begins it with a Beit in Bereshith. Interesting. So, and even the shape of Bereshith, notice it's closed to heaven above, it's closed to earth below, and it's closed to infinity past, but it's open to the future in the direction that God reads. Pretty cool, huh? Anyway, so this is Bereshith, and R is ra, resh, aleph, ah. The sheen, it's a sh sound. Yud, ya, and the ta is the t sound. So you sound it out, Bereshith. And if we look at their ancient pictures, remember, you learn 22 letters, you learn 22 pictures, and you can figure it out. A beit, we already said, was a tent. And a resh, this was the head. Uh-oh. Oh, not bad. And Beit Resh, we already know this much, because that's a word we've already learned. It's bar. Bar is sun. Oh my goodness, he starts the Bible, bar. I told you, everything points to Jesus. He's the first two letters are pointing to the sun. Then you have Aleph. What's Aleph? Aleph, we're going to put it in blue, because blue would be the color of God. Because this is God's letter. It's the one that's, he's out in front. He doesn't take all of everything. He gives all authority and everything to the Son. He starts the Bible with the Son. So this is God. He's the head of, it's the strength. God's letter, Aleph. So what do we have in the first three letters of Bereshith? The first word of the Bible, Bereshith, which means in beginning. It's not in the beginning, by the way. There's no the in here. When we learn more of Hebrew, you'll see it's not there. It's just in beginning. And believe me, I know so little Hebrew, but I'm learning, and whatever I figure out, I'm going to pass on to you. Okay, so the first three letters, it's bar, son of God. Oh my goodness, that's pretty cool. We come to the sheen. It has an ancient picture also associated with it. Its picture is, I'm doing it in black, teeth. It looks like a W. In fact, Sheena, it's the Hebrew letter that looks sort of like a W. But it's actually teeth. You see, devouring teeth. And anytime you see a sheen, it represents destruction and devouring. Okay? Teeth, destroying. Interesting. Okay? In fact, look at this. If you just take these two letters right here, Aleph, Sheen, that is a word in Hebrew on its own. That word is Aleph, strength, strong, powerful. Sheen, destruction, teeth, ultimate destruction. It's Aish, fire. In fact, Aish, whenever Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and who does he the burning bush? It's the Aish Sinai. The Aish is fire. Sinai is bush. The Aish Sinai, the fire in the bush. And it's just a cool picture of God. He's the fire. He's the judge. He can destroy. He's the fire. But the bush isn't consumed because he's also merciful. Unbelievably cool picture. But here he's got his Aish. He uses this name on Mount Sinai. But you can see how Hebrew works. You get these. You can figure out what the words are, and they sort of define what they are. A yud, the yud, its picture is a hand. And we'll do the hand here. They actually draw it sort of like this. It's an arm. Okay, you can see an arm coming down and coming out in the hand. And it represents work or a hand doing something. Yud. It's the smallest Hebrew letter. When Jesus, in the New Testament, he talked about not one jot or tittle will pass from the law before all are fulfilled. He didn't say jot. He said yod. He's saying not even the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet will pass from the law. So that's the yod. Very cool. It's the tenth, number 10. He begins his names with yod, which is very... very God. That's a God thing. His name, Yahweh, begins with a yod. Or Yeshua begins with a yod. His city, Jerusalem, begins with the yod. He's almighty, unbelievable, almighty God. And he uses the smallest letter for his name. Because he can. And then we come to the Ta, and the Ta, its picture is, it's the letter T. Ta, hear it? So you T. Or it's a cross, which you put your mark, your Ta. That's what it is. So, the word Bereshit, if you sound it out, you have Bar, the son, Aleph, of God, is destroyed by his own hand, willingly, on the cross. And you atheists say there's no God? And that man wrote the Bible? He does this with every word, people. Every word! Anyway, that's just really cool. And remember, this is the word in beginning, Bereshit. And what's really cool, if you go to the Isaiah, the prophet, the major prophet, Isaiah, Isaiah 46:10, he says, I am God, there is no other, and declaring the end from, you ready? Are you waiting for it? Are you waiting for it? He declares the end from the beginning. That's how you know who a God is, a God. If he can say it before it happens, he's God. And here, he's spelling out the end, that the Son of God will be destroyed by his own willingly hand, by own willing, you know what I mean, on the cross, willingly, on the cross, yes. That's declaring the end from the beginning, from the Bereshit. Anyway, pretty cool stuff.
Isn't that crazy? You know, and he referred to it in why we would want to study Genesis. Genesis is a book that shows God's strength and His power, His creativity, His desire for intimacy with His creation. It also teaches us about sin, does it not? It talks about judgment. But then it also talks about mercy and grace. God has always been a loving God and a merciful and gracious God. In a, he referred to it in the very end there in Isaiah 46. It says in chapter 7, I mean verse 7. I had it and I lost it. Whoop, I went the wrong way. I'll find it. I thought I would. Might help if I had my glasses on, huh? But he did say, he said, listen to me, all you rebels, he says, for I am God, and apart from me there is no other. He said, I will show you the end from the beginning. He takes Genesis, Bereshit, and through Bereshit, he reveals to us what's coming next. And this word that he just translated from Hebrew into our nature, using those ancient symbols about how the Son of God would be destroyed by God's own hand on the cross to carry our sins there, to die for us, to face that judgment for each and every one of us. And I just thought that was a beautiful picture. In the beginning, Bereshit. You know, and as we read, I'm only charged to teach on two verses today, but I could tell you, I think I could be here for hours on these two verses. And in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So let's just look at the very first four words. In the beginning, God. Before there was anything else, God was there. He is the Alpha, and He will be the Omega. Amen? The beginning and the end. Everything begins with God. Our existence, your life, started with God. Remember what He spoke? He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you. He had a plan for each and every one of us. We see that in Jeremiah 29:11 too, don't we? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He has plans for us. And that's part of the form we're going to listen hear about here in a little bit. But God, in the beginning, was there by Himself. Well, He wasn't alone, was He? The Godhead, three in one, right? Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But God was there. And He, out of nothing, the word bara in Hebrew means to create something from nothing. God created the heavens and the earth from nothing. Now that's a powerful God. And it says then that what He created was what? Formless and empty. Now I got to thinking about that as I was studying on this, but I don't know about you, but in my life, when God wasn't involved in it, my life was formless and empty. There was no satisfaction. There was nothing. I felt like I had no purpose, no plan. And in the ancient cultures, when we're studying primeval history here, the ancient custom or consensus was that if something didn't have a function, then it was formless. There wasn't no reason for it. When God created you, He had a reason for it. He had a reason that He wanted to show you, that you might come to know Him as your Lord and Savior, that you might have fellowship and relationship with Him, that we might worship Him. Throughout the Scriptures, that's what He tells us, is it not? That's why God created us. without function, what's the use of form? So if you're here today and you're wandering around and you don't know what God has planned for you, just know this, He has a plan. And He says this, that if we seek Him, we will find Him when we seek Him with all of our heart. You know, so many times I've read through the book of Genesis, and I've never really understood that level of things that John Kostick showed us when we got it down to the scriptures. He talked about layers and layers and layers in the relationship that we have with God. And he said we would seek Him if we would seek Him with all of our heart. He wants us to earnestly chase after Him and learn more about Him, not just to know Him a little bit, but to know Him intimately. God knows you intimately, and He wants you to know Him intimately as well. He's given you form, and He's given the earth, He will give it function. Right now, where there's nothing. It's just He's created the heavens and the earth, and it's formless and empty, it says. And it says that darkness was over the surface of the deep. It was just a void, formless darkness over the deep waters. And the word for the deep there in the Hebrew is tahum. I think that's how you pronounce it. But in the ancient cultures, it was like early Eastern cultures, it was they described that as being an ocean of chaos. Nothing has any form, nothing has any function. Can you imagine a world full of people that don't know what they're supposed to be doing or where they're supposed to be going, how that would look chaotic? With no direction, with no meaning. And I can see that picture in the ancients, in their mind at that time, what they understood and knew that maybe that was a fearful place. The darkness and the depths. But in this very first few verses of the Bible, we see that God's there, don't we? So then the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the word they use for hovering there is kind of like a brooding hen watching over its chicks. And when I read that and was studying on that and talked about that brooding, I remember the words of Jesus as he entered to Jerusalem. He said, or he was talking to the Israelites and the teachers of law in Matthew 23. And he said, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks." You know, I thought of that when I saw that this Spirit of the Lord hovering over the deep, waiting for something to come from nothing, because God was getting ready to do something, was He not? He's going to do something glorious. But I saw this, and in many ways, He makes known the end from the beginning. In this world today, there's a lot of folks out there in the darkness. There's a lot of folks out there that their lives seem full of chaos, that they don't have any purpose and no plan. And why is that? Because God isn't there. Brothers and sisters, we're going to learn a lot about God and His creation here in the next little while, but I'm going to challenge you today that even as the world began and it was formless and void and dark and empty, there's a lot of folks in their lives today that have that same feeling because there's no God in it. And if we learn one thing from the book of Acts, we just came off of, that we are to be that light. We are to take this message. What did Jesus say when the Holy Spirit came on His disciples, that they would speak of Him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be children of the light. We've heard it in the scriptures so many times, that people might come to know God. that their life wouldn't be formless, void, and empty, and they wouldn't be walking in the darkness any longer. This story of creation is a beautiful story. From out of nothing, God created everything. And the great thing is, He wants us to be a part of it. He wants us to know Him, to have fellowship with Him. We were born in His image. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so blessed today, is to be able to come and see your faces, to be with people. God is an intimate God. That's why he's getting ready to... We're going to see it in the next few verses. I'm not supposed to cover it, but we're going to see we're going to see some great things happen. But God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. We are not formless. We are not empty. We're not void. We are full of God's Spirit. His Spirit is hovering. Can you imagine it? Just feel it hovering over us today. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I watched Him moving through this room a while ago. Hallelujah. And it's amazing to watch that happen. And the closeness that we have with the Spirit of the Lord when we just let Him be God. To know that He's God and we're not. That we were created by Him. And we have this amazing relationship because He wanted it first. You know? So as we're going to see in verse 3, God's going to create some light. But He created a light in you, each and every one of us, that we might go into this world out here and we might bring light into someone's darkness, that we might show him the light of love of Jesus Christ. But in the beginning, Bereshit, bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created. And He's still creating, I believe. He's creating in each of us, what does it say? A pure heart. And that word bara, that is in the Hebrew, when you see that word, it's only associated with God. God is the one that creates. He is the one. We make things. And we can form things. Blacksmiths form horseshoes, but they make it out of something else, right? But God can make something out of nothing. And that really struck me too, that this word bara is God created, not man-made. And the temple that He created in each and every one of us was not made by human hands, was it? So let's rejoice that we're... God loved us enough that He wanted us to be in relationship with Him. He had a plan and a purpose for us in this world, in this life. Only got two verses, guys, but it's so full of impactful, so full of meaning that it's amazing to me. I don't know if you caught the passion that John Kostick had when he was teaching the Hebrew meaning of the word. But I hope it puts a fire in your belly too, to understand and know that even from the very beginning, God knew what was going to take place. God knew that He was going to have to send His Son to die on the cross for us. For God so loved the world. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believe in Him would not perish, but He have eternal life. You know, and we could get into a whole lot of arguments about evolution, creation, and all kinds of things. But I don't want to believe in theories. I want to believe in the truth of my God's Word. God has never, ever, ever, ever spoken a lie. Whatever He's spoken has became truth. And whatever He's promised has been fulfilled. And from the beginning, the end has been known. from that. It should bring great joy to those who are believers, right? But it should strike fear in the hearts of those who don't. But I pray that we could take these two short verses and we could apply them to our lives, and we could show people how God loved us so much that he created all this out of nothing for our enjoyment. The Garden of Eden, when he created that, you know what Eden means? Delight. It's a delight. He wanted a perfect relationship with us. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Every day, that was what God's plan was until the fall came, right? But God sent his son to reconcile us. Time and time again, we've been reconciled. But in the beginning, God, in our lives, when it doesn't seem like we have anything else, when we're at our lowest point, when no drug, no drink, no medicine, when nothing else will do, God is there. We came from God, and we'll return to God someday. In the beginning, God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we study your word in depth, we see how, Father, you, from the very beginning, it was just you. And in your desire to have fellowship, you created everything out of nothing. You've given us life. You've given us purpose. And you have dispelled the darkness with your great love. And even now, your Spirit hovers over us in this place. And we ask, Father, that as we take a little time to reflect, Father, that your Spirit would just speak to each and every one of us today. As we've moved out of the Acts of the Apostles and we enter into this time of reflection from the beginning. And Father, in this time that we find ourselves in, there's a lot of fear and uncertainty. But we know. Because we know you, how this story ends. So, Father, I pray that you would displace any fear in this place today. Father, that they might rejoice and know that, Father, you're in control. No medical expert, nothing else but you. So we give you thanks for what you're doing, Father, and through this tragedy and calamity, I've seen people come closer and draw closer to you and to each other. So we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that it just brings us, like I said, brings us closer to you. You are the Creator. You are the one who give us a purpose and a plan. Father, I just pray that we would seek out your will for our lives and we might fulfill that purpose and plan that you have for us through this study in Genesis. Lord, we ask that through us, in us and to us, that you would be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, we're going to take a little time to reflect.